Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's two old queens. It's two old queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens. It's two old queens.
Now shut up.
Hello.
Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm Mark Rennie.
And I'm John Flynn.
And we're here with, it's our very first show.
It's our very first show, everyone.
We're very
our first
polished.
Real show with our very first guest.
You know her from Blackish, Kidding. A very funny Snapple ad where she plays an apple. It's Jenny Pearson.
Hello, Jenny.
Hi. Thank you for clapping. Sure. Applause, please.
I love applause.
Clap. Mm-hmm. Would you rather have one person applause or no applaud?
Oh, interesting. One. I'll take it where I can get it. You
sure.
Know what I mean?
I think especially if it's an audience of one or two, then yeah.
Yeah, then
if it's
I
like
accept.
1,000 people and just one person claps like five times, then it's awkward.
And it's sarcastic.
And it's just your mom.
Oh, look who's here. Clapping. Oh, good for you.
Your mother was sarcastically clapping for you? That would be devastating.
In a sea of 1,000 people. That's a nightmare.
Cool.
Fun.
I don't know. Who are we? What are we doing here?
What are we doing?
We didn't really talk about
what we're going to do here.
We're the two old queens. We've known each other for 10 years. No, five years.
5 years.
Oh, it seems like you've known each other for
it
10.
It seems like,
you're very comfortable.
Very comfortable.
Yes, thank you.
But yeah, we just always love going to movies.
So yeah.
We thought, why not make a podcast?
So we're doing it. We're bringing our friends.
Yeah, wouldn't you guys go at like, you guys would go at like 10 a.m.
on a Friday.
Burbank.
Yeah.
Yes.
Still do it.
And you do?
Yeah.
You go every week? Or just once in a while?
No, we haven't gone on a Friday. Because now I work on
Friday
on morning,
now.
So I can't do it as much. But I love an early morning movie. Nobody's there.
Oh.
You really lounge out in the seats.
That makes sense. Mark's invited me a couple times and I was like, that's too early to go see a movie. Like, I'm waking up.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you
so
like,
movies are like alcohol for you? Like, you can't just wake up and start drinking?
Kind of. I have a very short attention span. So okay. I get like anxious about having to sit in a movie theater. So the only way like I can go to a movie theater and watch a movie is if it feels like I have the full day. I can like eat a weed gummy. I can like have a movie pour. Like,
sure.
Get in the seat.
You want to be able
like,
to relax.
It's a day. Yeah. I can't feel like I have something to go to do after
it.
I'm too anxious sitting there. I just can't sit for 2 hours like mm-hmm. and do nothing.
Because of anxiety.
Yeah, I just get too antsy. I just can't sit there.
I treat movies like a checklist, something to be done in my
right,
day.
Yes.
And something like, to cross off of a list.
Right.
I have seen Aladdin with Will Smith and now my day can continue.
Oh, but you
I can form an opinion.
You don't sit there thinking about all the stuff you have to do.
No, I'm not that really.
That's good.
If I have that much stuff to do, I guess I won't go.
But right. I guess that's why I like going, because I don't have to think about that stuff. And I will also see anything. If I find myself, you know, like you're not in a good movie when you start thinking about like, oh, where can I get lunch around here? Mm-hmm. Like, oh. I'm in Burbank or I'm by the mall. Where right, is a good so place to get lunch? Like, mm-hmm. That's when you know a movie's lost you.
So what's been the best movie experience?
The best movie experience
yeah,
ever?
That you've ever had.
Ever had?
Yeah,
ever. Wow.
Ever
wow.
Had.
Really throwing down the gauntlet, episode one. I don't know. How does it? I mean,
I
how does
it for host
I feel
for
like, isn't there, isn't there just like a level of movie experience where you're like, yeah, that was great. Like, at a certain point, there's not much more they can do.
I mean, I like seeing any big spectacle in IMAX with a great seat and the air conditioning and the heat of summer, and you're escaping into an air conditioned theater and seeing some big, stupid tent pole. Maybe it actually, when I saw the Blair Witch Project for the first time in San Jose, shout out to Camera One Theaters.
Right.
Okay.
Next to the Winchester Mystery House. That's,
no, those are the centuries.
Oh.
Sorry. Sorry to mansplain theaters of San Jose, California to you.
It's really rude.
But I saw, it was very rude of me. I'm apologies. I saw Blair Witch and it was like before it had blown up, it was only in like art house theaters and like people were like camped out and like half the audience was people had like bought sleeping bags into the theater.
Oh,
because they
wow.
were like wanted to be bundled up and like were ready to get like terrified.
Oh
and
God.
It was
weird.
So fun.
Yeah, that is
oh, wow.
weird.
I now thinking of that, I think like the most like explosive time I ever had in a movie theater was watching the South Park movie with a packed audience.
Oh,
and when that song
fun.
Uncle Fucker started, people lost their goddamn mind and it was so much fun.
Oh, that sounds so fun.
What's yours?
Magic Mike.
Oh, I see
it
that.
It was like a party.
Yeah.
The first one or the second one?
I think it was the first one.
Okay.
It was like so anticipated and my friend made everybody, like I went with like a group of girlfriends and my friend made us all goodie bags okay. with like tiny wines and like candy.
Tiny wines?
And they let you in the movie theater with tiny wines?
Well, I mean, you just hide it in your purse.
Sure. Oh, come well, on. I don't have a purse, but all right.
They don't care. What do they care?
No.
I mean, it's Magic Mike.
Like,
they know what they're doing.
And everybody was talking during it.
Oh,
and
nice.
Laughing. It was like
oh, that's
I was
what happened when I saw Burlesque
around.
When that came out.
It was fun.
Yeah.
That's how I prefer a movie is like just
that's
everyone
like
relax.
Sex yeah. in the City.
Let's calm down.
What movies are you going to?
Let's not be so tense, yeah. everyone.
We don't have to be silent.
We should be screaming during movies.
I think so. It should be a fun, you know,
communal dialogue. The story shouldn't make any sense.
Yeah.
People should just be screaming constantly.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's like, you know, what is Magic Mike? What do we need to pay attention
nothing,
to, really?
No. Just want to hear that pony
dance
song.
What's yeah, going yeah. on. Yeah.
Were you one of, did you dress up to go see Sex and the City?
Oh, no.
Remember when that was happening?
No, I don't.
I'm sorry. I've gone too far.
Dress up.
Women were like dressed up, like going out
that's
to a nightclub,
true, yeah.
going
oh,
to the movies.
Okay. So that's, see, that's a fun
that's
movie
like another,
going
sure,
experience.
Why not? Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. I like a theme.
Yeah, like yeah, a girl's yeah. night out, you know,
mm-hmm.
adding it. Let's go see Sex in the City and it not
yeah,
be very good.
This is the only thing I have
this
to
is all
do.
Let's be disappointed.
Oh, I got to go home to my kids.
I'm making a third of what
mom's
man
night
makes.
Out.
I got to pound a bottle of wine.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
Sure. Great. Well, John, do you want, we had an idea for just to.
Just as like a warm up to talking about the movie. Ooh.
Before we talk about this, it has nothing to do with it all, but this last weekend, this will now date when we've recorded this, the Tonys happened. I didn't watch. Did you
yeah,
watch?
Yeah, I didn't. And they I didn't.
The
I usually
this
do.
This is going to go great.
But I then noticed like, oh, the Tonys were, I hadn't, didn't even know that they were like airing.
It was like
the
lowest rated
me.
In like years, I think.
I'm surprised.
Sure,
yeah,
but that's like a hard
like
thing.
John
yeah, yeah, yeah. I love the Tonys.
Yeah,
yeah,
he loves them.
It.
So I thought he's going to recap them for him. Well, you know.
Oh, fun, fun.
Well, I was just going to figure we could just maybe talk about some of the numbers because. Right. Really why you watch the Tony Awards to see the performances
yeah.
because it is I mean I grew up in New York so for so initially for me growing up I was like oh yeah I've seen a bunch of these shows but like since living in California I'm like oh yeah when you haven't seen any of the shows it is really boring to watch an award show where you're like I don't care about any not that you don't care but you haven't seen anything so you don't have an opinion
do
yeah.
the
yeah.
plays ever get to do like a scene from the play
they used to do that like back in the 80s and then for whatever reason they stopped doing it because they were just like no one likes this and
it's
just like
I
just
loved
do
it when they did scenes
yeah
I know.
Think so too I think you just have to give them enough time but I think people were just like oh you can't give 4 minutes to a play it's too boring
right
yeah
about, instead
it's called
we'll have
cancer
to...
mother
exactly
I would love to see that
that would probably be more interesting than like what it was but like
the, James
the wheat in the field
yeah
right.
oh the wheat in the field
sure sure
what is that play
I don't know
something by August Wilson I imagine
he's good
he's very
he
good
he knows fences
he does So what do we have? So there was the opening by James Corden, which felt a little sort of underwhelming. I don't know.
I can't believe James Corden hosted it.
Well, it's on CBS, so that's his network. And I think they were just kind of
like... Has he won a Tony?
He has. He won one for a play. I can't remember the name of it. And then he was going to do, right before he booked his late night show, they were going to do a revival of A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum that he was going to star in. And then it was like, oh, wait, he got a late night talk show, which is going to make him truckloads of money. So sorry, Broadway musical.
Oh, interesting.
But so like that never happened?
That never happened. But you know what? It's one of those evergreen shows. He can It'll do it in 20 back. Years.
Yeah.
He can do it in 40
yeah,
years.
It
he,
won't
you know,
matter.
There's no need to do it anytime
That's
soon.
That's his role.
Yeah, that's his Lear. It's his King Lear. It's Soulless and A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum is James Corden's Lear. So then there's Ain't You Proud to Beg, which was just like a jukebox musical about the Temptations, which I thought was entertaining, but it definitely felt like something you could see on a cruise ship.
Oh.
that makes me, what did they do from the show?
They just did a bunch of like numbers, like Temptations, like numbers you would know.
It was like Jersey Boys-ish.
Yeah.
Kind of like
a montage. I think so.
Yeah,
like
pretty
a song,
much a medley.
Medley.
Medleys, yes.
Ain't too proud to beg.
Yeah.
Please, Mr. Postman.
I don't think that's the
That was one of them in that world, that idea.
See, I'm sure, good at medleys,
yeah,
too.
You're great.
Very
you're good,
good
at that. Then they did a number from Tootsie, which I think was one of those things where if someone doesn't like musicals and you were to show them this, they'd be like, yeah. That's why musicals are dumb.
Oh, no. Why?
Because, I don't know, so the lead guy was like, first of all, he was like in a hat because you could tell that it's like,
a hat.
He's going to have to do a quick change to put on a wig. You know, he was that. He was the Dustin Hoffman character. And he's just sort of like walking around the stage, like with his arms all up. And then there's like a chorus of people like dancing around the background, like, that's right. He's got the idea. And just like doing weird dance moves and just like, just busy, busy, busy and boring. And then he comes out at the end, like transformed,
as
like a
Tootsie.
Quick change as Tootsie, but he looks just like Mrs. Doubtfire. And like, instead of like any actual makeup, they just put like big glasses on him and
oh
like a
God.
Big wig. It yeah, it's just sort of one of those things. You're like, this was not
was
good.
The song
isn't
catchy.
That, isn't that movie kind of problematic at this
I would
point?
Think so.
Like I watched it recently for the first time, and
oh,
I was
really?
Like, this is. Like a man has to teach a woman how to be women.
Sure. Yeah.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
How to be better
it's
women.
Hilarious.
Yeah, women don't know what they're doing.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
A man show them
I
how
know
to
Dustin
be
Hoffman
feminine.
Easy, yeah. and powerful.
Exactly. But not too aggressive.
No.
Yeah, there's been that sort of thing. So then there was Hadestown, which is like this weird musical. I'm not sure exactly what it's based on.
I saw that number.
You saw that number? What did you think
that
of
online?
That?
It seemed weird, but it's also one of those things like, I bet this plays great when you're there.
Yeah, I think it's like very visually interesting.
What's it about?
It's like a Euripides. It's like a weird retelling of
like Orpheus
Aeneas and Euripides or something like that.
So
like
who's that?
I don't know. Some
Greek
myth. Some old Greek
I know,
thing.
But I don't know what the.
I don't know.
I don't know my Greek mythology. I didn't go to Yale.
Oh well, thanks for coming on our podcast. yeah, so that seemed more like weird. Like, I don't know. I can't imagine being like wanting to see like a classic musical and being like, yep, that's the one I want to see.
Right.
I liked what they did with the lamps. They had
yeah,
these
so
like lamps on long cords that they flung around the stage.
Yeah.
I'm probably not doing it justice.
No. there was a real Cirque du Soleil vibe about it. Then there was Oklahoma, which I thought the girl who sang Oklahoma was great.
Too.
Yeah, they did. Basically, they did I Can't Say No because the girl who sang it, she's in a wheelchair. And so that was sort of like, so she ended up winning the Tony for Feature Actress in Musical.
Oh,
and that's
yeah.
the first time someone with a disability has won that award.
That's cool.
And she was great. I thought she was incredible. I thought her voice was great.
Apparently, everyone keeps saying the thing on Twitter. Uh-huh. They're saying that this Oklahoma fucks.
It what?
It's a very controversial production of Oklahoma.
Like it's sexy.
Some people hate it. It's a very divisive production.
What's
some
so
people
divisive?
Love it. Well, it started at Bard College. I think because they just do a lot of weird stuff, like where like you kind of see rape and people are like the choices are different and weird and like it's
there's
it doesn't feel like
rape in Oklahoma.
There's sort of
originally
yeah. Oh, yeah,
like
because
yeah
that
they
bully,
haven't like changed
that
anything.
Guy,
Judd,
a bully.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That bully Judd.
No, he's not a rapist. He's just a bully.
He's just mean. He's just having a bad day.
Doesn't that also have like the kaleidoscope with like a razor in it?
Yep.
That's so weird.
It's weird.
I was in.
That's the only thing I remember plot wise of Oklahoma. Oh, and Surrey with a fringe on top.
Yes. Yeah.
That's Oklahoma right there.
Surrey with a fringe on top and a murderous kaleidoscope. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I was a counselor at theater camp
and
when they did
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
Okay.
I wasn't in it, but I was the counselor.
Oh,
you played the counselor in Oklahoma. Very
so
high controversy.
Why can't she say no?
Let's really get into that.
Let's dig deep.
There were people on the stage of Oklahoma, like the audience members that
looked
like.
Like
was that that for every Tony number, or is that something exclusive to Oklahoma?
I think for Oklahoma, it's done kind of in the round. Or
that's
something
like three quarters
of the in the round.
And I think like at intermission, like they serve chili and cornbread. Like it's a real kind of weird.
Kind
of
this,
like
I think
at one point, like boots just fly out from the ceiling.
Yeah. At the audience's head?
Not at the audience's head, I'm sure. There'd be too
these
many lawsuits.
They're for like, dropping.
Andrew Lloyd Webber did the chandelier.
Like, we got to one-up him. We got
to one-up him with a shitload of boots.
That's funny.
The only thing I don't like about In the Round is like, oh, we're not going to see very like fancy stage work. Like, I want to see fancy sets flying in and like,
oh, you can't do that.
Things,
no.
People flying.
You like, want to see the magic of the theater?
Yeah, I guess I want to see like a Waterworld stunt show every time I go to see a Broadway show.
Yeah, it's tough.
Oh, Waterworld the musical.
It could happen.
I'm sure it's been talked about.
Did you ever watch, the woman who won the Tony who's in the wheelchair, did you watch that Glee spinoff reality show?
Oh, no, but I know people were on it. Did you watch it?
I did, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
And she was on that.
Oh, she was?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And she was amazing.
Is it worth checking it out?
How long ago
was it?
Was
it called the Glee Project or something like that?
I think so. I actually loved it.
Okay.
Because it's like that movie Camp.
Okay. Yeah.
But a reality show version of it.
Great.
It's like high school kids who just like have their dreams.
Just dream them so hard.
Yeah. And but some of them are really talented.
The actual high school kids?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I like watching good singer. I like musical theater.
Oh, gotcha.
So like,
yeah.
I liked it a lot. You might like it.
Every Broadway show I've ever gone to, like, I've enjoyed. Except for Phantom of the Opera.
Really?
Real boring.
The longest running musical in history.
It's a snooze.
That's the one you
couldn't
like.
Care for
okay.
it.
I didn't like Little Night Music.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's boring.
Okay.
Boring.
She agrees with
what?
Me.
No, you didn't see a good production of it.
I did. It was the Civic Light Opera at San Jose.
You can't see. That musical should be on that stage. I'm sure they were great. The stage is too big for that musical. That musical is more of an intimate chamber piece.
Oh, I
you shouldn't see it on a large.
Problem.
It's like putting on a football field.
Just everything was
there's
a
no
waltz.
Point.
It's like put you to sleep.
I guess when I've heard songs from it sung in like a cabaret style thing, then
the
it was great.
Sending the Clowns is the only one probably you've heard.
Yeah, you're right.
But every other musical, I'm always like emotionally, even like American Psycho, which I guess is not regarded as being very good. I was like entertained by.
That's a musical?
It was
they made
for like
one,
a year.
It's not very successful, but
oh
yeah.
But I saw it when I was in New York for like working, and I was like, oh, this is amazing. Like, I didn't have any interest to follow up, like, listen to it again. But, like,
while you were there, you were entertained.
Like, oh, these are like the best people in the world doing what they've always wanted
okay.
to do with
they're
their
the
life.
Best people in the world.
But they are, you know
sure,
what
no,
I mean?
Yes.
So I was actually, like, there's something inherently moving about any Broadway show. Like, oh, wow, you get to see these like supremely talented people living their true dream.
They're workhorses.
Yeah.
They must work. The
like
show must go on.
Yeah. There were courses.
They work. I work. We work.
We work.
We work here.
We work
here.
We work the soil.
We do the work.
We do the work.
And we work.
We do show the work. And then we've done the work.
And we go home and we sleep.
Work and sleep.
Perfect.
And do a lot of coke.
You can't go to sleep after you're doing one of those shows. You got to do bumps of coke. Speaking of bumps of coke, then there was Beetlejuice, which I thought was good, very like high energy. And I'm the guy who played Beetlejuice. No, it was just like very like, whoa. And the guy who played Beetlejuice, like he did like do it with a growl. Like he had like this kind of like he was obviously like doing like a Michael Keaton impression. And I was like, I can't imagine how he does that 8 times a week.
Apparently there's a trick to it.
Oh, really?
What do you mean?
Like he does it without a way that doesn't actually put a strain on his voice.
Doesn't actually strain his
voice.
What's
the trick?
I don't know.
Huh. Well, if you could guess,
you gotta
what
go to Beetlejuice
it
and figure
it's probably
out.
Doing something with his throat.
Can you do the voice?
No, I can't.
Can you how you doing?
Something like that. Yeah,
that's good.
Let's do that 8 times a week.
Who goes with the most bang?
Mark is dying, coughing currently.
I don't know the trick.
Proof. Then we had The Prom, which I thought was fun. That's an original musical.
It's
something
called
you don't
The
get
Prom.
Yeah, it's called The Prom. It's like a new story, so it's based on like some girl who wanted to take her girlfriend to the prom, and then her school said no, and so then like this, I think this like community theater comes in, like we'll throw you a prom. And then she's like a bunch of like old men. Yeah. She's like, we're doing a prom for you.
We
and
heard
then
the queer was in danger.
So we're going to sing our dance.
We showed up in a rainbow bus.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. That's the prom.
That's going to be a Netflix. What was the music like for prom? What was it all about? Like, hey.
What was it all about?
Yeah.
You're pretty much nailing it, I think. I don't know. I haven't heard it. I just saw that number. It was like very high energy and like, we're doing a prom.
I can't imagine what the whole play would be.
Just the
it
prom,
it seems like that is it for the prom.
As far as I can tell plot-wise, that's pretty much it. But I think it's just like every character gets their own like fabulous number.
Right. Like, so I'm the nerd.
I love
the old diva.
I'm going with a woman to prom. mom.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mama.
Mama, I want
to
prom.
I'm a lesbian.
Nobody
no, you're
cares.
Not.
Yes, I am.
Why are they having a fight at prom with a spotlight directly on them in the middle of the dance floor?
Rude. Stealing. Talk about stealing the spotlight.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's going to be a Netflix movie, isn't it?
I think so,
that
yeah.
Ryan Murphy's behind.
Right. The prom?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You
saw
the
really cool.
So they're going to do a... The comfort of your couch.
I'll yeah. watch that for yeah. sure.
That I'll watch.
If they do it like that Jesus Christ Superstar, to me, that is the barometer for a live...
For one of the recent live ones?
Yeah, these live Broadway shows.
That was good.
Acknowledge the audience.
It.
The staging's
make
wonderful.
Make them part of it. Yeah, that's the point.
It's not, doing a live trying musical. To just do like a taped... Broadway show.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Because it
yeah,
feels weird when you don't have an audience.
Yeah. All the times they didn't
laughing.
Have an audience right. and like a number ends and then they just go like, all right, back to speaking. And you're just like, it feels like a failure.
Yeah.
It feels like it flopped, especially like when they have jokes and there's no laughter. It's
oh,
like part of the point yeah. of having it live is having an audience and like the that
it's like
sort
removing
of transference
the
of energy
between laugh
like the
track from a sitcom.
Voice in the audience.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Like I love the Into the Woods, you know, the like original uh-huh. Sondheim one. And it's like, even though it's just basically
the stage
taped,
version.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The stage version, but it's really fun to watch.
Yeah, I think that, yeah I agree. So then they had Choir Boy, which is a play that closed, but it had like a lot of music in it. It was actually very interesting. It was just like very weirdly staged. And like, I don't have any sense of what the story is, but it would be a fun, weird one to check out if you
like
weird stuff.
You know, like the church and
pedophilia.
There was no pedophilia in this number.
I just went molestation.
I think it was more uplifting.
Mama,
than...
I've been touched by a priest.
That's what I beat.
Yeah, there's a crossover between Choir Boy and the prom.
There probably is a lot of
sure.
You know,
overlap.
There probably
you
is.
Know, like, you're right.
You're
probably right.
Was it just one Choir Boy? Was it the Choir Boy?
There's a whole lot of Choir Boys.
Oh, a lot of Choir Boys.
Oh,
but
I kind
of
get the misdirects.
Okay. And actually, there's one actor who's in Choir Boy who was also in Ain't Too Proud. He had a very busy year.
Oh, that's
he
fun.
Did two to three.
Is that legal?
Look out for him.
Is that legal? Yeah, it's legal. There's no law against doing two performances at the Tony Awards.
He's an up and cover. And you know what?
Keep your eye out.
Because he does the work.
He does the work.
He's
he shows the work. Does
he does
the work.
He does it. Does some coke when he's done.
Yeah. He does it. And you know what? You don't see the work when you watch
him. But you feel the work.
You feel it.
You feel the work.
But
that's
you know
what you need.
That work feels like fun.
Oh, you got to make the work fun.
If the work ain't fun, then it's a slow doing it. Yeah.
Exactly. So next we have Kiss Me Kate.
These were all nominated.
God, this is
yeah,
a
for
million.
Different things. I know a million. Kiss Me Kate, they did a number called Too Darn Hot, where they just dance a lot and talk about how hot it is. So it doesn't make sense, but it's fun.
Is that the Too Darn Hot?
Yep.
I've heard that song.
Oh. You've heard that song, yeah.
Isn't that based on Taming of the Shrew?
It's like a theater company doing a musical version of Taming of the Shrew.
Oh, so it's meta.
It's a little meta.
Wow.
And actually, Kiss Me Kate is one of the shows everyone's like, it's a classic. And it is a classic, but it doesn't make sense. But it's got a whole lot of great songs in it. So people are just like, let's forget that the book doesn't make any sense, because you'd be an idiot to be like, let's
right.
not hear these songs. You want to hear Brush Up Your Shakespeare. You want to hear Too Darn Hot. You want to hear Always True You Darling in My Fashion. I could go on and on.
I never love songs that are slow and about things being hot. Because they just make me like tired.
Is there other
like
songs
Fever?
That are like, oh, you don't like
Peggy
the song
Lee.
Fever. Hmm.
I think it's just a little slow and it's like, oh, yeah, it makes me hot and tired.
Do you not like slow songs in general?
No, I like slow songs in general. Huh. It's just when they're specifically
like
about the heat, like summertime.
You run hot because Mark runs hot. You do run hot.
You know, like that one from Porgy and Bess?
No.
Okay.
It's too slow. Like, makes me realize, oh, I'm hot and sweaty.
Oh, really calls attention to it.
But maybe that's good. Maybe you could sit in that and enjoy it.
But I just feel like I'm uncomfortable and like I want to cool down.
I see. Well, okay, then you watch Frozen.
Let it go.
You'll never get that.
And let it go.
I don't want to build a snowman.
No. Then almost done, we had the Cher show, which I thought was should have been interesting, was weird. She just did Believe, but like in a weird tempo.
She herself, Cher?
No, not Cher.
Oh.
The girl, the woman who won the Tony, Stephanie J. Block. She just does like a bat, like... This clip can't be representative
that.
Of the show. She does like a weird Cher impression. Like it seems like she's doing a RuPaul's Drag Race like challenge. And then she ended up winning the Tony.
Oh.
Well, shows what you know.
Shows what I know.
That's
so
also
the
a
guy
funny,
who doesn't like Phantom.
It's like a funny song to represent Cher.
Right. It was more like just like a fashion show for all the Bob Mackie outfits.
Oh,
I'm pretty
cool.
sure it was.
That's
maybe
a great
it was
song
like a
to represent Cher, I think. She's
you
been
do?
Had so much heartache. And Do You Believe in Life After Love?
Oh, I guess.
I feel that's like emblematic of her life in a lot of ways.
Oh, okay. Okay. Sorry.
Oh, my God.
I
got into a Cher off on Two
More
Queens.
Like the most what the
sure,
most iconic.
Sure.
What would you say the most iconic Cher song is?
I mean, I don't know. Gypsies,
I got you, babe.
Tramps
Gypsies,
and
Tramps and Thieves.
because she's all three.
Yeah. I guess she contains multitudes.
I guess those were Sonny and Cher songs.
That's true.
Yeah.
Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves wasn't, I don't
it wasn't?
Think.
It was no. just her, right. but it was probably during when they were together, or I don't know.
I don't know.
Turn Back Time.
Turn Back Time's
a good one.
Just like Jesse James.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there you go. I don't know that much about Cher.
Okay. Just go that deep. All right. And then the last thing you could check out was the In Memoriam section, because Cynthia Erivo sang Can You Feel the Love Tonight? And she was great. She was incredible.
I love her.
She's really, really good.
I'll go watch the highlights for sure now.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Can you check out that In Memoriam?
Yep. It's up
just
there.
Just turn the video off and just listen to that music.
Yeah. Yeah, just play it on in the background while you're doing stuff and just listen to
it. Oh, that's the best way to watch TV, to do honestly. Yeah.
Treat it like a radio play.
Turn it on, go listening. Make guacamole.
Yeah, well, just listening to an In Memoriam segment.
Like, I don't know who's on screen right now, but everyone's applauding.
I'm going to make a playlist.
No, you're not supposed to applaud anymore.
Well,
do they do that at the Tonys? At the Oscars?
Try to get the Tonys
like,
not
applause.
To applaud when Carol Channing's name comes
okay.
up.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
come on.
You can't.
But then, like, I feel bad for people that don't get applause.
Well, they're not there. What are you going to do?
Well, their loved ones might be.
Right. Well, that's sure. why they'd say at the Oscars, no applause.
Right.
So
happens.
Nobody feels bad.
It's like high school
but
graduations. I always tell people, don't applaud for your kids because then they'll right. miss the next name.
Uh-huh.
But some kids only have like two. But then someone always brings an air horn.
And then Chad gets the yeah. biggest applause ever.
I hope someone next year brings an air horn to the Tonys in memoriam. If Carol Channing doesn't deserve an air horn, who does?
It's one of the seat fillers.
Yeah.
Great.
Then they're going to have to start checking everyone's bag for air horns the following year. It's going to be
yeah,
a whole
it's
thing.
A mess.
Got to get those World Cup things, yeah. the vuvuzelas.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
That annoying air tube that people blew into. I don't know.
Okay. When you go back and edit, you'll have to insert a sound effect.
Insert vuvuzela here. Great.
All righty.
Well, that was
so that's the Tony wrap-up.
How did you overall rank the Tonys this year?
I thought they were fine. I don't think there was any performance that I was like, oh, that one's like joining like the greatest hits. You know what I mean? Like,
sure. What's the greatest hit?
I would say the greatest hit of all time is the original Dreamgirls, Jennifer Holliday singing And I'm Telling You.
Oh,
I'm
that is
that
good.
Is incredible. It's
yeah,
like 8
that
minutes,
is incredible.
But it is incredible.
When
yeah.
she's just like squeezing
I know, she's like 20
head.
Years old and she's just like just belting her pussy to the back of the theater. Yeah. It's insane.
And it's like a full, it's like 7 minutes.
Yeah, because they do like all the scene leading up to it. Mm. It's great. That's if you can only see one Tony Good. Clip in your life, see that one.
Yeah. Man. I'll go back and watch that now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, can we finish this?
All right. Are we ready to talk about our movie?
Are we ready to talk about, as you may or may not have been told,
I'm sure when they
Jenny,
downloaded this yes. episode. Oh, yes.
We are on the hunt. The premise of this show is we are kind of on the hunt for the gayest movie ever.
Oh.
So, but it's best. I like if the guest doesn't know that. They just bring in a movie
yeah.
they want to talk about.
Right.
Because we have a very elaborate scoring system that we will get to later.
Oh, fun.
But you wanted to talk about the 1995 film Sabrina.
Yeah.
Let me just recap it really quick for those who don't know. It's came out in 1995, directed by Sidney Pollack, stars Harrison Ford, Julia Ormond, Greg Kinnear. Here's a very quick plot summary. Sabrina Fairchild, Julia Ormond, is a chauffeur's daughter who grew up with a wealthy Larrabee family. She always has unreciprocated feelings for David, Greg Kinnear, the family's younger son and playboy. But after returning from Paris, Sabrina has become a glamorous woman who gets David's attention. His older, work-minded brother, Linus Harrison Ford, thinks their courtship is bad for the family business and tries to break them up. But then he starts to fall for her, too. It's a remake of a 1954 Billy Wilder film, considered a box office disappointment. Budgeted for $55 million, only made 85, not great. 56% on Metacritic.
56%?
Wow. It got okay reviews. So what made it was nominated for an Oscar, two
for
Oscar noms.
Which one?
Best original musical or comedy score and best original
sense.
Song.
Okay, that makes sense because you had John Williams and the Bergmans.
Oh,
creating the songs,
that.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful score.
It is.
Beautiful.
Truly.
Lush.
That's
yeah.
like when the
so
90s
lush.
It is like a great example of a 90s rom-com. It has all those. Because
yeah.
everyone, Harry Met Sally really opened the floodgates. I'm like, you got to get Rat Pack music in here.
Mm-hmm.
It's like going to the
Sabrina
Americano.
Doesn't really have that.
Well, it has like Moonlight. It's not like that 30s, 40s era music. What made you want to, when I said like bringing in, what made you want to talk about some, what is it about Sabrina that captivates, that entrances you?
You said pick a movie that you'll feel passionate talking about.
Great. So what fires your passion for this movie?
I, It's like, I get, I don't know. This is my favorite movie.
Interesting.
I've heard you say that
this
before.
This is like, and I'm not a person who watches movies more than once. Like, okay. Again, attention span. But I probably watch this movie at least twice a month, two or three times a month. Like,
still today?
I will watch it.
When did
all
you first
time.
Fall in love with it?
I've watched it back to back three times in a row before.
Oh my God.
Wow. Okay.
Something about it, like, it really makes me happy. And I used to say, be like, what are your favorite movie? And I used to be like, Gosford Park.
You know? Sure. Like, sure. The Bicycle
like,
Thief.
Sure, sure. And like,
what's
I
it really
had to come to terms
accept
and be
it.
Honest
That's
with myself
wonderful.
And be like, this is my favorite movie. I'm
Great.
Sorry, like a 90s rom com that has 50% on Metacritic.
It's all right. That's okay. There's no shame in that.
So what is it that you love about it?
It's really hard to say. Well, I think part of it is this. It's like a great fantasy. It's
sure.
Like the
well, it literally
fantasy.
Starts with Once Upon a Time.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. like, and I think when I was a kid, like my fantasy was to be like a sad little rich girl or like, you know, the chauffeur's daughter and pining for the rich mm-hmm. mansion people.
Of course.
And wanting
so close
to
touch it, but you can't hold it.
Yeah, exactly. And then like two guys fall in love with you. Uh-huh.
Like, brothers, no less.
No, brothers yes. is a little gross.
Well, that's your movie.
It's
your favorite
very
movie.
French that way.
Very French.
Yes, I'm very French. In
progressive.
My 9-year-old
Isn't it based
fantasies.
On a French movie?
It's based on a play, but no, it's a Billy Wilder movie. He wrote
okay.
it. It was like Audrey Hepburn was in the original
yeah,
movie,
Bogart.
Which I've never
oh, right,
seen
Humphrey
the original
Bogart.
Because I'm afraid it'll ruin oh. the... movie
original is 20 minutes shorter.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, you're a big
2 hours and 3 minutes for a rom-com. Mm. Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah,
come on.
Mark loves a 90-minute movie.
Well, especially a rom-com. Yeah. I mean, Avengers Infinity Endgame, I was fine with that 3 hours. Mm-hmm. So my reasoning doesn't make any sense.
Oh, so when it's on when it's something that you're enjoying, like that's
yes,
your interest.
I find those second acts of rom-coms can be a little slow.
I see. Mm-hmm. I love a rom-com, so I will sit and watch 3 hours of it.
Okay.
Do you remember the first time you saw this?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good question. I don't.
Did you see it in theaters or did you just find it online
no,
or a
I
video?
I probably saw it like when I was sick, like, cause when I, when I'm like sick or like if I have the flu or something, mm-hmm. I just want to watch rom-coms. I just want to watch something like upbeat and like makes me happy, you know, kind of not like, Chernobyl when I have the flu.
There's a place for that.
There's a place for Chernobyl.
When you're feeling great.
Yeah.
I'm too positive right now.
John, had you seen Sabrina before?
I had not seen it before. So I watched it last night and this morning and I saw it on an app for free, but like every 10 minutes they would just play commercials. But it wasn't even like, oh, here's the end of a scene. Like it was clearly like every 10 minutes, like a commercial started and it was like in the middle of a scene.
That's awful.
Yeah, so this was the first time I saw it. I thought there were certain things about it that I was like, this bothers me, but it's stupid for it to bother me. Like the fact that I just felt like her transformation was like so quick and so complex. Like she went from what seemed to be like a sort of like sweet 16-year-old and then she's like gone for 2 years and then she's like this complex woman in her 30s.
Yes.
And I was like, that was a lot.
Was she meant to be in her 30s when she comes? Because she has this real transformation when she leaves for Paris.
She seems like she's in her
30s
though.
She's supposed to be like 23 or 24.
She didn't seem that
and
to me.
She's actually like 30 or something like in which she looks it. Yeah. It's a wonderful, I love it where she goes from like frocks. She goes from like a very, very bad wig work.
Yeah.
Like a very long
chunky sweater.
Yeah, exactly.
Wig.
She looks
like
she just came out of
a big frock.
Girls just want to have fun.
And totally. And then she comes back wearing like these beautiful like silk suits and a short haircut and red lipstick.
Right. She's got like this accent and no one's like, why are you talking like that?
Yeah.
They're just like, oh, you have this very.
She was raised in America, but she has this British accent just because her dad's British.
Her father's British.
But I grew up, the neighbors next door, their parents were British. Those kids sounded as English as I do. Which is not at all.
Oh yeah, Julia Roman like it has an accent that I don't
hard
know
to place.
If it's British. It's just something.
It's just like it's
the UN.
Yeah, it's accent work.
She's doing the accent work
exactly.
She's showing it,
and you can tell.
Yeah, so that sort of like bothered me, but then I was like, well, you can't let this bother you because then you're just being dumb and not enjoying the movie,
right? I guess like it's doesn't make sense. It's pretty problematic because we're watching the 1%. You know,
sure,
it's like these rich white people and their like sad relationship problems. Mm-hmm.
But that kind of goes back to almost like Jane Austen, even. You know what I mean? Where it is just about the coupling and like those, like those, like down to earth real problems don't really factor in. It's more about like the passion and the relationships and the characters.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know. That doesn't bother me in these kind of movies.
Okay.
So
great.
Just like, just accept it for like, they're just, let them deal with the relationship. That's the most interesting part anyway. Although there is a little business talk in this movie.
There is. There I is felt very business. Like generic improv business talk. Yeah. It was like, tell them we'll go up 1% more, no higher. And you're like, oh, that means a lot.
Whatever that means.
Yeah.
Bye when I say bye.
So did you like it?
Meh. I didn't like hate it, but I was not like, I can't imagine watching it three times in a row. I'll say that.
I know. It's weird. I understand. I know this makes no sense. I really think for me, it's just the fantasy element of it. It's just like a one. It's just like lives in my fantasy world.
I get it. Like, like all the stuff in Paris made me be like, oh, Paris. You know what I mean? Like, it does capture some sort of like romance and wistfulness, I think, well.
It's like, I found myself in Paris.
Yeah, exactly. It was stuff like
think
that.
Like, okay. Who are you more attracted to in this? Greg Kinnear or Harrison Ford?
Oh, Harrison Ford. But he's my man.
Yeah. Oh, is he your guy?
He's my guy.
Oh, wow.
Me too. Ever since Temple of Doom.
Oh,
when he gets possessed and he's like shirtless. And
not even the first Indiana Jones movie, but it was Temple of Doom for you.
Was that the first one I saw? I saw Temple of Doom first.
Oh, I see. Interesting.
In the theaters.
Oh.
My mom took me and a bunch of my friends for my birthday.
Oh, perfect.
And then she had to leave the theater because
they
got
scene?
To the dinner scene where they're like,
the snake.
All
the
disgusting food.
She got grossed out.
I got
so
it.
So then she left and then she came back and they were ripping a guy's heart out of his chest.
she,
yeah, it was just a pure horror show. And it was rated PG.
That scared me as a kid.
That was
too.
One of the movies that, that and Gremlins are what sort of like made them PG-13. Come up with PG-13.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, we those movies were PG, and then people were like, there was a big backlash, so then they created PG-13.
Oh.
First PG-13 movie? Red Dawn.
Red Dawn. There you go.
Seems like that
not
should be
the
R.
Last.
Well,
one thing I did like about Sabrina was the number of like character actors in this movie.
Yes, yes.
Like,
you
there's
got
so
a lot
many
of
people,
great
so
cameos.
Many times. Yeah.
Margot Martindale's
in
Paul Giamatti.
Paul Giamatti. Becky Ann Baker. Dana Ivey is like the secretary.
Yes, I love her in
she's
that.
So
she's
good.
So sardonic.
Nancy Marchand as the mother.
Yeah.
It was like
Olivia Soprano.
The mother Maud.
Mother Maud.
Oh,
that's her name, Maud.
In what?
In the movie.
Oh, and Sabrina.
In the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
What are we talking
here?
About?
Where are you?
She's amazing. She had some unfortunate outfits in this, though. There's one where she's just wearing a giant bow.
Yeah.
A giant lilac and white bow.
Yeah, like, she looked like she like kept losing like a Project Runway Challenge winner. Like, she just had to keep wearing like, that was the winner. You have to wear it.
Because she was a businesswoman.
Yeah.
I love,
but she was like,
always,
all her business was throwing parties, though.
Yeah, that's true. I think she took over the business after the husband died on a golf course.
Yes.
The ninth hole.
But Harrison's really running the business.
He's really running the business, but I think she still gives advice.
She's holding her glasses in her hand all the time.
Yeah. It's great
she's
glasses
always,
work.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
glass
really
work.
Good glasses.
She's
I
doing
love
the glasses work.
Glasses work a lot. I wish I
it
had
reveals
glasses.
So much about character.
If I had glasses, you would be seeing the best work.
Every time you're surprised, ripped off your face.
That's always done by people who don't normally. You could tell, like, oh, they never wear glasses because they're like making such a show of, oh,
pointing,
I have a new accessory.
Right. Like
pointing
when someone's smoking
it.
Who doesn't really smoke.
I love cigarette work when they're emoting all through the cigarette.
I do too. It's, if you watch any of the Housewives, it's wonderful when any of them decide to go smoke a cigarette. You know, they haven't in years.
I did. I enjoyed this. It wouldn't be my favorite of the 90s rom-com, but I do love a 90s rom-com because I think there's like that was when the art form was at its peak in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And I wish like Harrison Ford did more because he did this 6 days, seven nights. And
I know.
Working Girl.
Those are the only rom-coms that he did?
Yeah, I looked up his filmography. I looked it up.
I guess Witness is not a rom-com.
I would call it a comedy.
But it's very romantic.
It's romantic.
It is. That's another
that
of
Amish
my
woman.
Harrison Ford favorites that I watched two times in a row.
But he is like really...
you love a marathon viewing.
Right?
Of only like two movies.
I thought he played like the light comedy really well. And like I bought him as like this New York businessman.
Sure.
I mean, he's kind of a dick. Like some of the problematic parts of this is like he's a dick. Like he tries to...
Pull
break
it off,
them
charming.
Up,
yeah.
make her fall in love with him so that then he can, like,
so it protects their financial interests.
Yeah. There's, like, one of my favorite lines is, like, after, is Maude and Harrison Ford, his mom, and they're sitting there and he's, like, finally telling her the plan, like, I'm going to take her to Paris and take her away. Uh-huh. And she's like, so you're going to ditch her. And he's like, learned it from you. I learned everything from you, mother. Uh-huh. And she goes, you didn't learn this from me.
Mic drop.
That's always a thing in romantic comedy where, like, people are like, I had this terrible plan to, like, really screw you over, but the first you're learning about it is right now because I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, yeah, I don't want to go through with it because I have fallen in love with you. Mm-hmm. And I always think, like, I don't know if the right reaction is like, well, not wow. What my reaction would be wouldn't necessarily be like, well, fuck you, I'm out of here. I'd be more like, whoa.
Hold on. We got a lot to unpack here.
Absolutely. But in a movie, you can't do that. You got to have someone like, and that sets her off. But you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you got to, like, change the relationships. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I don't know. It always just kind of bugs me. It's like, well, that's both people are being unreasonable.
It's pretty absolutely fucked up. Yeah. Like, he's cold. That's cold.
He's gaslighting her.
And mean. Like, I in rewatching it just the other day, mm-hmm, to do the podcast, I was like, oh, I'd love to see this in them in 20 years become like a Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf situation. Absolutely. Like,
well, he gaslit me. And,
yeah, just hate each other.
He pretended to love me.
He's cold and removed.
Yeah. Like, they're billionaires.
She spends her time in Paris and has a lover.
With that photographer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who I don't think is very good.
You don't?
Good, no, or good looking.
Of a photographer?
Yeah. He did the most cliche photo. Oh, let's have a couple hugging under an umbrella in front of the Eiffel Tower.
Yes.
No one's done that photo before.
And then she comes and puts a red scarf.
Right. Like, just arbitrarily
kind of look together.
Meaning, symbolism, relationship.
The passion is over there behind them.
Story, backstory.
I love the photo shoots of, like, the all the water. Like, when they're, like, all the models are hooked up to, like, hoses. And they're clear, like, raincoat fashion shoot.
It's coming out of their fingers.
I was also thinking, that's not going to show up in a still photo. That could show up in video. I don't know.
I think it could.
I don't know.
I mean, today you just Photoshop the whole thing. But I think back then, he was experimenting with the form.
Sure.
I liked it.
But it is a this movie is a real boner for Paris.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
And, like, it's the transformative, I guess that's the romance of it.
It's,
you know,
like, it's the Paris, stereotypical Paris romance. Right.
Paris
thing.
Is magical. You go work on a...
You just sit in a cafe, write in a journal, and suddenly there you are.
What do you think she wanted to do with her life, Sabrina, when she got back? Like, what was her, like...
I think she wants to be a photographer.
Yeah,
is that what she was doing?
Like, yeah.
She goes, I've been taking photos all my life.
Yeah, which made no sense. Oh, for sure.
You mean you have vision and your eyes work?
You've been looking at things?
They're like,
she's been removed,
like,
not a part of it.
It's like on their date to Nantucket, and Harrison Ford is like, she's like, here, you take a picture. And he's like, oh, I couldn't. Mm-hmm. And she's like, just look. And then he's like, looks at the lighthouse, and he's like, what kind of man lives in a lighthouse? And she's like, exactly.
See, now you get
See?
It.
See?
Now it makes sense.
Let's take photos of that lighthouse.
Let's ask the question in photo form.
I liked when the mother asked, can you ask a woman that she's been jerking it around? I probably got that line wrong.
Where the mom goes like...
I got to tell her he's just jerking her around.
Can I say that to a woman?
Yeah.
He's jerking her chain?
Yeah.
Nancy Marchand,
she's great. She's great. So
legendary.
I don't know her name, but the French actress who plays, like, her boss in Paris.
I bullied her. Now she terrorizes you.
Yeah.
So you will terrorize
someone else. Yes. she's great.
I don't think she will, though. I think Sabrina's going to stop the cycle of abuse.
Yeah, probably, because she's very sweet.
Yeah.
And kind of a what's the word for giving in easily?
Doormat?
Yeah. Because at the end, the wonderful finale is like Harrison Ford, you know, running to Paris and finding her and being like, it's always been you.
Right.
I didn't really buy that.
You didn't.
I didn't, know.
And he beat her there because he took the Concorde, which doesn't exist anymore.
Surreal.
What's that?
That supersonic jet he gets on. That's how he's able to get there, like, before she got there.
That was real? I just thought that was a made-up thing for the movie.
They're not just making up supersonic travel just for Sabrina.
Why not?
Can you imagine? Just all of a sudden a sci-fi threat. And then he teleports there.
He teleports to Paris.
Okay, I would have bought it.
Laramie Tech has a new...
that's romantic. What did you think of their chemistry? Harrison Ford and Julie Armand.
He is 20 years older than her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not as bad as the Humphrey Bogart
They were 29 years apart.
Wow.
But also back then, people looked like they were 100 when
they
were 40.
That's true. People looked a whole lot older.
They smoked all the time and ate terribly.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like they had that much chemistry. Right,
I didn't either. But like, who wouldn't be attracted to Harrison Ford?
I know. I'm always kind of I want their chemistry to be a little better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought Greg Kinnear was a lot of fun, though, too.
He's fun in that role.
He was fun.
And Lauren Holly. Whatever happened to Lauren Holly?
Right? She did
Which movie
on a plane.
She was Greg Kinnear's love interest, the...
She's the one that causes all the problems.
Oh, yeah.
That's her family's company. There was a merger.
And she is a doctor and she saves children. Yeah, that woman.
She's a saint.
She's great.
For some reason, she loves Greg Kinnear.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I love what
it's
you said.
It's very like a young Marcia Cross.
No, I was going to say, I love what you said about like improv. It's like improv business.
Right, right.
It sounds like business.
There's a merger.
Like, okay, I get what they're talking about.
We're merging financial interests.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Greg Kinnear reminded me of Jax from Vanderpump Rules.
Oh, yeah, totally. Though Jax is like a real scumbag.
Like,
so was Greg Kinnear in this movie.
Yeah,
but I guess like Greg Kinnear character came off more as like affable and like just a lost little boy, whereas like Jax feels more like a sociopath who now doesn't know even... can't even tell the difference between what's truth and what's a lie.
That's true. Wow. That's a really good succinct way.
I still stand by my assessment that they're very similar.
He is. I know. Well, it's like, if I take five steps back and look at really who these people are, they're monsters.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But at least like the dad then, it's like the chauffeur dad listened.
Oh, right. John
when,
Wood.
Yeah, when he bought iBot, when he sold iSold.
Right.
And then he makes like $2 million.
And then he has a nice little romance with the
maid.
Yeah,
she's the chef.
Oh, the chef.
The chef. Gotcha.
Rude.
Chauffeur and chef. The classic
a woman.
Duo.
She must be the maid.
I like how they were like a maid. She cleans toilets, right?
She does the chamber pots, right?
That's what Sabrina did too, right? She cleans up a man's shit. She's a woman. But I like how the servants had their own little, like, they had a sense of family. And I like that.
They were happy.
They
could have like a spinoff of all, if you could get that cast together again.
That would be a really fun spin-off, like an upstairs downstairs.
Exactly. Uh-huh.
I think that was like,
spell Sabrina backwards, and that's the name of that movie.
None of us can quickly.
That was like part of my fantasy too, was like a servant fantasy.
Oh,
like, because it looked like such a kind of a nice, you know, you just have your day to day thing and you work and you live in these gorgeous apartments.
Right. You live next to the stables.
Seems like fun to me.
That's terrible.
It's terrible. I had weird fantasies when I was a child.
I think that's a great fantasy.
It's like a romanticized, I romanticized every part of rich people.
There's no one being exploited.
Right.
Yeah.
They're not just invited to the party.
Everyone's being treated well.
Mm-hmm. They're doing good things for
the
environment.
Right.
They're setting off fireworks at random parties. Every party's black tie, which would be really stressful.
Exhausting.
For me.
Right? Exhausting.
Yeah. We just relax.
Just give it a theme. Something so it's a little different.
Yeah.
What about a beachy? We go
beachy.
Short.
Beach theme.
Something with a mask.
Yeah. Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah.
Has there ever been a mask
gala in their Long Island
state. Ooh, a Margaritaville masquerade. Masqueritaville.
There you go. $1 million idea right here.
Is there a Margaritaville hotel in Vegas? Should be.
There should be.
There's that restaurant.
Yeah.
That's the one.
I hate it.
It's bad. Should we get into the scoring?
All right, I think it's time
to
score.
Are you ready to see how this rates in the gayest movie ever?
Oh, okay.
So we have a bunch of different parameters. The first category, we are all each going to give our own score, and then the average will be the total. All right?
Great. Okay.
So on a scale of 1 to 100, homoeroticism.
Oh.
I would almost say, well, with her, Sabrina and her tutor... The woman,
the
like,
tutor?
When she's all talking about, like, loneliness and, like, being lonely in Paris is a great place to start. I almost felt like there's, like, almost maybe some sort of sapphic leanings.
Oh, interesting. Okay. French. Very French.
So, wait. With this category, do we feel like anything that, like, might be, like, erotic for homos? Like, would we say, like...
What works for you?
Yeah, like, what does that mean? Yeah.
Like,
Greg Kinnear and like Harrison Ford are very attractive and fun to look at. Does that count into it?
Right.
Does
There's it count a moment for you? When like Harrison, when like he, when the two brothers are talking and like
talking, no G.
And Greg Kinnear says something about business, like, oh, I bought a Picasso. And he goes, how much is that going to cost me? And he goes, I don't know. And then he says something else about business. And then Harrison Ford like puts his arm around him and goes, I love it when you talk dirty.
Okay.
All right. So I'll have to give it a 90.
Yeah, I think whatever, however you get to the number is right for you.
All right. I'll start. I'll say 20.
20. What are you basing that on? Erotic.
I think the little bit for the visual eye candy of Harrison Ford and Greg, I keep wanting to say
Kinnear.
Kinnear.
Are you horny for Greg Kinnear?
No. Not so much. His haircut in this movie, I did not like.
Yeah. And it feels like he has a lot of spit on the sides of his mouth.
Yeah.
In this movie.
I loved him on The Soup. I was more into him on The Soup, probably.
Oh, interesting.
Or Top Soup.
It's a deep cut.
Yeah.
I've never really been horny for him.
No.
I get it.
But he's hit or miss. I've always liked him. I don't have, you know.
Yeah.
He's certainly not hideous.
He's certainly not hideous.
He's a good looking boy.
He just looks like a straight guy to me.
Sure, sure. But a good looking straight guy.
Yeah, he's like a good, handsome, straight looking guy.
Yeah.
I couldn't be
He's
less.
Also so played 100, so many dicks. Like, it's he's played so many jerks.
Well, and what's that one? As Good As It Gets.
Oh, right. Yeah. I haven't seen that one. He plays Gay Guy.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Wasn't he invaded? Nominated for that?
Beat Up.
I think he was.
Yeah. He was.
Beat Up.
Beat Up. Uh-oh.
Great gay character. Artist gets beat up.
Wow. Progress. So brave. So brave.
For homoeroticism, I'm going to give it a 10.
Okay. Mm.
And that 10 is just because of those two ladies.
Okay. This is out of 100.
Out of 100. Yeah.
I'm going to go with John and say 20.
20. Okay.
Yeah. Just because of that little hug between the brothers. was nice.
So right now it has an average. So average score for homoeroticism for Sabrina, 16.67.
All right. Oh, no. Starting strong.
And then we score on actual gay characters, 0 to 100. Now, a lot of this time, you have to guess or assume.
Okay.
We have to project.
I mean, there was a couple photo shoots. There's got to be some gay characters on those photo shoots.
There was.
But they're backward. They're not characters with names.
It seems like that photographer may have, you know, been
he's
open.
Friends. Swinger. Sure, sure. Yeah. Yeah. He's had something up his butt.
Yeah, sure.
Who knows, he's a finger.
Something in his mouth. Yeah, yeah. Something.
So what does that mean?
So how do we rate this?
Just 0 to 100.
I mean,
how what would the score you would give Sabrina on the on gay
visibility?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, I'll say 2.
Yeah, I was going to say 0.
Someone in the background, but it's just a background player, but someone at least has to be.
Yeah, I guess it was the fashion industry, right?
Yeah, yeah, so like, something's got to be there.
But does it almost that make it more glaring that there weren't any like actual...
Right.
I mean, I think the story wasn't about it, so I think that's fine.
Mm.
Is the story not taking place in the real world? Is the story not taking place in America and France?
Well, yeah, but it's not like, oh, I'm sure one of their flight attendants was a gay guy too. We don't need to see scenes with a flight attendant.
Yeah.
Speak for yourself.
Well, that was another good cameo, is the flight attendant on the private jet.
Oh, yeah. J. Smith Cameron.
Yes.
Yeah.
How do you know her? Names?
She's a theater name. See my segment on the Tonys.
She was fun.
Yeah, she's great.
I love that bit. That's my favorite character.
She just keeps coming in.
Yeah. She's like, oh, my God. And then Harrison Ford goes, all right, that'll be enough, Carol. You're like, poor Carol.
Poor Carol. She's just trying to do her job.
She's having a blast.
Yeah, she's like, we're going up in the plane.
She's like, ooh, Sabrina, that's a beautiful name.
Who wants a magazine?
I'm going to give it a 0 on actual game.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're going to give it a 0,
I'm going to give it a 0.
Okay.
Wow. Just nothing.
Camp factor. 1 to 100. Now this is maybe what is maybe we struggle now
exactly
to define
what is camp. But if the Met Gala taught us anything,
we don't. Nobody knows.
Don't know.
I always feel like with camp, I said this earlier. Like, you know, camp's like pornography. You know it when you see it.
I will give it a 10 just for Nancy Marchand's costumes.
That's good. I also think those photo shoots are pretty camp. Okay. A lot of camp there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, could you call like her Paris montage camp a little bit. Like, it's kind of like the day they're dancing in the nightclub. They're, I guess to me,
I wanted to go like a little farther for it to be camp. Right.
It's not camp.
I think anytime you're using a corkboard to track your life progress is a little campy.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
She has his head. She has Greg Kinnear's headshot on his her corkboard.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, right.
And David did a gap ad.
That's what mattered. I also like anytime a movie says this is the 90s.
Yeah, it does say
which
that.
Which they do.
And having voiceover, it's sort of bookending, it does have a little camp joke
writing. Like, sure. The joke writing in it is fun. Like,
what was that one scene when he was like, sorry, Don. It wasn't Don, but it was something
that's
like
that. Really funny. He's like Harrison Ford's having a meeting with two businessmen, and Greg Kinnear interrupts, and he's like, I'm in a meeting. And Greg's like, this is important. He goes, okay, sorry, Don. Yeah. Like, they're both named Don.
it's like a weird joke that goes nowhere. Yeah, didn't need to have, but why not?
It made me appreciate the writers.
Exactly. Someone's like, someone got a joke in.
Yeah.
So what are you going to give this on Camp Factor?
I'm going to stick with 10.
10?
No, 10.
Mm, wow.
I'm going to give it 5.
5?
Nancy Marchand's outfits, guys.
I know. They are campy. Okay, fine. 10.
You don't. No.
Stay, no, you bullied me.
You're changing it to 10?
Yeah, sure.
Great. I'm going to do, I'd say 17.
Okay.
17.
Those photo shoots.
Oh. All right.
And anytime a woman goes from frumpy to like supermodel.
Right. Mm-hmm. She really did.
All right. Speaking of going from somewhere, makeover montage.
There was one.
There was.
There is.
How would you score it on a 1 to 100, this movie's makeover montage?
I think 60.
60.
Okay.
It was a pretty good one. Uh-huh. I based it on the end result.
Okay.
It was such a crazy change. And you did get a lot of like, she puts the red scarf down. Sure. She's finding her creativity. She's cutting her hair.
I wish like her friend like was like, I will help you show you.
Let me take you to the salon.
You are visiting Paris, but let's have Paris come to you. And then she like it takes her into the salons and they try things and like, here's Marchand. He's going to cut her hair. And he's like, no, this one not do. It's not offensive to French accents.
Not yet.
So that's the only, like, I wish the makeover montage felt more like a montage.
You wish you had more of the makeover
I want to see it happening.
Uh-huh. I see.
Sure. I don't want to just see the before and after. I want to see how they did it.
So does a makeover montage to you just mean trying on clothes?
It could be.
It could be.
But I feel like you got makeover montage means so much more.
Oh, yeah. I mean, ideally, it's from within.
When you've been made over. Yeah.
Exactly. Oh. You are born anew.
The internal makeover montage.
The internal is just expressed through the external.
So fuck it, 90.
90. Wow.
Yeah. All righty.
I mean, she was fucking made over big time.
Okay.
Paris made her over.
Did a number.
It did. Okay.
That's what you hope you come back looking from a trip to Paris looking like.
Oh yeah.
Wearing a red lip and all black.
Oh my god. Yeah. A suit. She wears only suit like flowy suits.
Yeah.
Like
very well tailored. Very. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a dream outfit, and they're like silk. They're nice. Sure.
John, what are you gonna give Sabrina? 1995.
I'm gonna have to give it a 30.
Wow.
I feel like the end result was like it again. Like she seems like she's in her mid to late 30s, and she's supposed to be early 20s. And I think it's the haircut. I think the haircut is not right for like a young.
I think that was the era girl. Though too. Like the 90s were into like that weird short hair.
She does look older than 30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm gonna give it a 30 because I feel like it missed the final transformation.
Wow. I'm going to give it a 40, a makeover montage. I like that. As soon as you see her in these frumpy Lilith Fair dresses.
Yeah.
She's pre-makeover here.
Yeah, you can tell.
But I just wish we saw more of that. All right. Now, these are the non-subjective. There is no average for these. straight actors playing a gay role, negative 25 points. I don't think that happened.
I don't think that happened at all.
So there's
straight actors playing a gay role. No, because there was no
negative.
There was no gay character in this movie.
So it wins by default.
Oh, I like that. It gets negative points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Positive portrayals of homosexuality is 50 bonus points.
But I don't think they have it. So it's just a zero.
I mean, again, we could argue the fashion world.
Yes.
Right. But it didn't say anything new about the fashion world.
No, that's true.
And then a negative 100 points if you're the movie Cruising. And it is not the movie Cruising.
person, so no points deducted for that.
All right, Jenny. And now finally, so right now, it currently stands out of a possible 450 points. Mm-hmm. Sabrina, 1995, has 83. Aww. But currently, that makes it our number one. It currently this makes is the it gayest the number movie one.
The gayest
ever.
Movie we have talked right. about but on
however,
this podcast.
There was one final you get to make up one scoring category.
Category that becomes be part of canon. Canon.
That is now canon, and we will use from every movie going
every
forward.
Every guest will then have
to help us determine the gayest movie ever.
Okay. Almost based on your assessment of Nancy Marchand's outfits, how about costume?
Costume? Okay.
Costume.
Like, what about costume?
I guess like fun wardrobe.
Fun wardrobe.
Fun wardrobe. Okay, is that bad?
No. It's perfect. And so, then what kind of reward should it get?
Over the top.
I think we're just going to score it on 1 to 100.
How about over the top wardrobe?
Okay.
Or is that crazy?
No.
Sure. Well, how about just wardrobe and then...
Wardrobe.
If it's just like fine.
I mean, it's up to you. 1 to 100.
Because you gave it campiness solely based on the dress.
Sure.
So that feels significant.
Absolutely.
So what over the top wardrobe, 1 to 100.
What do we I mean, thinking? She's the only one that really went over the top.
The yeah, Nancy Marchand.
So out of 100 and out of like, I guess I'll just for that give it 10.
Yeah.
Just because if you figure like there's probably, if you figure like 10 major characters, only one of them does it.
Oh, that's, yeah. Okay.
Trying to bring math to
I
all this.
I agree.
Yeah.
Because everyone else looks 10? Nice, but I don't think anyone else goes over the top. Like no. Men are in just sort of classic basic suits.
Yeah, she looked out of place.
She was definitely at a different party than everyone else.
What are you going to give it?
10. I'm just copying John on everything.
Fair enough.
Great.
And then for over the top wardrobe, boy.
What did you give it?
I'm thinking. I don't know. It really is only Nancy Marchand. I guess not even the. We got a variety of slickers.
Sure. Yeah,
that's true.
That's true. At a fashion shoot.
You're right.
It just really made an impression.
I kind of feel like the maids' outfits were a little bit ridiculous.
Sure.
They had that like frilly neck and
they were, like still giving you like,
frilly neck. They were like 1800s maid.
Right. They're giving you a little Downton Abbey.
Yeah. It was a little ridiculous.
In Long Island,
I feel like if people are living in your house, you shouldn't make them define what they wear too. You're already making them live in your house, and now we're going to tell you how to dress.
I think they should dress like stage managers.
All in black,
like all
with
black headsets.
With
and a clipboard.
Keys hanging up.
And gaffer's tape and keys. Okay.
I mean, right? Because they're running your household.
I'm going to give it a 17.
All righty. You so like that 17?
I like that 17. So that gives over the top wardrobe, Jenny Pearson's inaugural category, 12.33.
I feel like that's bad.
No.
Okay.
No, it's not.
What do you mean that's bad? As a score?
No. The category was a bad
idea. No, sorry. We love over the top wardrobe.
Okay,
are you kidding?
Great.
Get out of here.
Okay, great.
All right. So that gives Sabrina, 1995 version of your top score is 95.33 out of a possible 550.
Yay.
All righty.
One person's clapping.
So what could we do to make this movie gayer? Maybe if like Sabrina sang.
Sabrina sings. Yeah.
Sabrina sing.
What if Sabrina became Samuel?
I think you could make.
Oh, she comes back as a.
No, she's always a man.
Oh,
yeah. Like so comes back like, from Paris.
And
like,
that's why Linus falls always in love with her.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, just make her. There's no transformation.
Yeah. If it's like a threesome.
We can do that too.
Yeah, it's the threesome
the
is all
son.
Men. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've seen that movie.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be an easy fix. Or like, what if the chauffeur dad turned out was gay and asked Paul Giamatti, the gardener, to marry him instead of the woman chef?
Oh,
Paul Giamatti was like, chain smoking. What is his job in the house?
Paul, he's the gardener.
Oh, I feel like, do we ever see him garden?
No.
I feel like he's only ever smoking in the kitchen.
But he's wearing like a gardening outfit.
I see.
What if Nancy Marchand and Dana Ivey as the secretary were having something going on
Ooh,
as well?
Ooh, that's fun.
Wow. Let me untie that giant bow on your back.
It takes an hour.
Yeah, right?
Put it back together.
If Sabrina was... Sean? Is that the name?
I said Samuel, but Sean is better.
What would be the... What's like the male version of being frumpy, going to Paris and coming back? Like, what do you come back looking like?
I mean, I guess you could say...
Shave your beard, cut your hair.
Yeah.
Maybe have a goatee.
Oh, yeah. A stylist mustache.
Goatee.
I don't know. It's the 90s. The 90s reigned supreme.
I think it would be like he had really long hair and a long beard and played video games or something and then goes to Paris and comes back cultured. And wears suits now.
Yeah. He wears suits.
He wears tailored t-shirts or something like that.
Yeah. Smokes clothes.
Mm-hmm. He takes in his t-shirts.
He'll talk to you about Tom Waits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that transformation isn't as romantic for a man. Like, it's
I mean, it seems
it's
nice.
It's more like the Queer Eye transformation is what it feels like with men. Like
a true French tuck.
Sure. It'd be very fun to see, like...
I mean, he could come back as a drag queen.
So then
there is a transformation. Yes! So that's a Sabrina. They fall in love with Sabrina.
Does the cabaret scene.
Then we have your dance numbers. Then we have your songs.
Yeah. I just want a song.
Yeah, Harrison Ford could come to the cabaret where Sabrina is singing and fall in love.
Who is she?
You know?
And then sort of like Victor Victoria.
It would be nice just to see just dapper men, like the rich, dapper.
Top hats.
With canes. Yeah.
That's what this needs. Top hats and canes.
Okay.
Just that top. Well, they're black. Why is that too far? She can have a giant bell on her back. Nancy Marchand could be dressed like a Christmas present.
I guess I'm thinking of what I'm attracted to.
You don't like top hats and canes?
Top hats and canes, that's fair.
I'm not attracted to it, but I think it's definitely gay.
We're not king shaming on this podcast.
No. They're just wearing top hats and canes. Putting on my top hat.
And nothing else.
Right there. Then I leave
and
the house.
And holding this cane.
Now I'm all sunburned. Except for a small part of my head.
Now that's camp.
Now that's camp. I think so. Wow. Well, I think we did it. This is the part show we normally would have listener feedback, but nobody at the time of recording knows this show exists. So normally we would have listener feedback.
We should tell listeners how they should give us feedback.
I believe we are at Twitter and Instagram, Two Old Queens, TWO Old Queens.
And if you want, you can email us also at twoldqueens@gmail.com.
Ooh.
Follow us on all that. Jenny, thank you so much.
Is there anything you want to plug? Any shows you got coming up or things you want to promote?
Look out for that Snapple commercial.
You're the Apple.
Thank you guys for having me.
Of course. Does it help you if people rewind it and watch it again? Huh? Do residuals work like that?
No, I don't think they work like that.
Yeah. But
no, Grandma.
I encourage it if that's interesting.
Take it in. Soak it in.
Thank you so much for having me. This is so fun.
Oh, it was so much fun.
I'm truly honored.
We're so delighted to have you.
We'll see if Sabrina can maintain it's right now. It's number one. It's the gayest movie ever made.
I have a lot of hope in Sabrina. No, it never will.
We'll be unseated an hour from now. Yeah,
I can think of 18 movies right now.
Wonderful. Well, thanks. That's it for this inaugural episode. Thank you.
Yay.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Now it's time for credits. Produced by Alex Arche. Music by Danny Cohen. Art by Connie Shin. See you next Wednesday. Bye.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's JUVEDERM.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's JUVEDERM.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.